Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. That also lends itself to this next part that I think is something that most Christians unfortunately have not done because it's been relegated to the clergy, which we're not big fans of. Actually, we're fans of clergy, we're not fans of laity, but it's been regulated, and that's
bad. We're not fans of the distinction.
And that's baptism. You know, when you share your testimony with someone and the gospel's presented through your testimony, it's a very we want it to get to that place, and I'm still trying to get there, where the most natural thing that we do at the conclusion of that is just to say, gosh, why would you want to give your life to Christ? Would you want to start walking with him? Would you want to begin the journey with Jesus today? I'd love to help you do that. I'd love to pray with you. And we can do that, and I can baptize you. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, sound the alarm. I can baptize you. Is that something we can really even say, Tom?
Why not?
That's what I've been saying, right? But it's funny because the Great Commission says to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But most believers, unfortunately, have not baptized anyone. That's an amazing thing. In America, that I speak with. Now, maybe where you're at, it's different. But a lot of believers, even if they helped lead someone to Christ, they ended up finding the professional, the real minister, so to speak, to do the baptism. But Jesus, I do believe, calls all of us to make disciples and to baptize. And so how do we baptize people? What does that look like? Is there anything important to do? Is there anything important not to do? Certainly drowning
someone.
Don't
drown them. No,
don't drown
someone.
That's
pretty important.
Is there anything important to do or not to do? And maybe you could share a few stories of that, Tom.
Well, while you were talking about that, I was thinking, both my boys accepted Christ when they were young, and we were living in Kenya. And it was after the second one accepted Christ that both of them expressed the desire to get baptized. And we had a little place that we knew of that it was about an hour's drive away. It was a little river. And we used to go swimming there, and they said, this is where we want to be baptized. And so we gathered, you know, all the missionaries in our community, and we just had like a picnic and everything. But I kind of had some, I don't know, I regret, I had some incorrect thinking. I was trying to figure out who could baptize them that they would A, respect, and B, kind of be legitimate, that, you know, if in the future anyone asked them, who baptized you? Oh, that wasn't a real baptism? Because, you know, I'm thinking this.
Yeah.
This was way before House Church. So we got one of the pastors that worked in our village, in our town, and they respected him. So he baptized. I gave a little talk about it, and then he baptized them. But, you know, looking back, I regret. I could have baptized my own kids in the river and would have meant so much. And I'll never have that opportunity again.
Oh, so. I'll never forget the first time I baptized someone. It was at a local mega church. And they had to have a particular belief that when you baptize somebody, you got to make sure they get all the way under or it doesn't count. And this guy's like, look, I don't believe this, but there are people here at this church that do believe this, and if they see that this person's nose does not get completely under the water, they will come and make her redo this again afterwards. And so, man, I remember I got ready to dunk this girl. I laid on her, man. I was like, that would be the most humiliating and ridiculous thing, in my opinion, ever, if we have to come back and do this again because the tip of her nose doesn't get on water. So I laid on her pretty good. She got all the way under. But it's funny that you mentioned about the kids, because I remember that when we baptized I did baptize my son. It was right when we started Simple Church. But even then, it's so funny, and I feel so corny thinking back on it. I'll never forget, there was like four dads, and we all had boys, and they all just so happened to want to get baptized around at the same time. Actually, three of them did. And then one kid, the day we got baptized, he decided to accept Christ at the baptismal and be baptized right then and there. So his dad ended up doing it as well. So it's really cool. But the funny thing about it was we were sort of having this get-together in this gym that was connected to this church, and so we decided to go up in this church and do it, and we didn't really know what we were supposed to wear, but they had all these white robes that were sitting there, and so we thought, man, I guess we're supposed to wear these robes, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. So we put all these robes on and we got up in this baptismal, and every time I see it I think, man, that looks so weird. Why would I wear that robe and baptize my kid? It is just like, but it was funny because at the time you thought, well, this is like, there's a rule here. Like, you got to wear these robes. We look like fools up there, I feel like, every time I look at that picture in these robes. I'm like, what were we thinking, man? I never wore a robe like that in my whole life. And here it is on this great day for my son and all our boys. We got these pictures of all of us up there with these robes on that didn't even fit, and our shirts were sticking through and all this wet and all this. It was funny. But I think there's a lot of, you know, baptism just seems like this super holy thing that only super holy people can do.
Yeah.
And there's a fear there. But when you baptize somebody, what are some practical things that would be important? Should you share the gospel, share your faith, and someone says, I'm ready to begin following Christ? Mm-hmm. You know, I encourage people to, one, baptize them right away, yeah, as soon as they can, and to really make a deal of it. I mean, get the family, get their friends, or tell them to call all of your friends and family, and let's do it as soon as we can, and let's go find us some water at a pool. If you got a church baptismal pool, great, but sometimes it's even cool to use a pool, a public pool.
We have
pool.
A horse trough.
Horse trough, use a bath. I've even seen it happen in bathtubs, hot tubs.
Yeah.
And it's getting to be summer, so this is going to be a really good time to even sort of bring up baptismal. And you can find a lot of places to do it. Creeks, we've done that.
Yeah.
Creeks.
Rivers and lakes.
But I think there's a real opportunity there, Tom, to get family and let them experience this very important act that they're doing. You know, there's the Lord's Supper and baptism that the Lord Jesus left with us sort of as.
Yeah.
If there are rituals or ceremonial things to do, and they're very important, and we can talk about the depth of them.
Those are two commands that Jesus gave us. He said, baptize them, and he says, do this, and as far as community, he says, do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah.
So we're to do these things.
So you never baptized anyone before. Maybe you just listened to this podcast just yesterday. You shared the gospel, and they said they would like to give their life to Christ, and now you're trying to figure out about baptism. What advice would you give? Is there something to say, not to say? How do they do it? How do you baptize somebody?
Well, I think they have to want to have it. So there are people that the idea has to kind of grow on them.
Yeah.
And I think by doing it often and seeing it, that gives them the idea, hey, I want to do that. Like, we baptized a girl several years ago in a lake, and we didn't know. She invited all her friends, and there was a Chinese couple, and they were in tears after they saw it. And within that week, they said, we want to do that. We want Jesus.
There's something.
We baptized them the next week.
You know, we don't think about that a lot, I think, but it is an incredible opportunity.
It's a testimony.
And to even extend that. You know, we had a father and son that were baptized, and then the mother ended up wanting to be baptized right there on the spot. And that kind of stuff happens, and I encourage people, number one, to expect it to happen. You're proclaiming that gospel in a very real way. It's being translated before their very eyes of these folks. And these are many times people, if someone's a new believer, all their friends and family are probably, they may not be believers. So they're seeing it. And be prepared for other people to be baptized. Maybe have some extra towels on hand.
Yeah.
Have maybe an extra pair of swimming trunks on hand, depending on where you're doing it, or a few pairs of swimming trunks. Be number one. Be prepared and expect there to be more baptisms than you think they're going to be, and offer that. But I think a couple things I thought about. You know, when I've baptized folks, there's there's generally a few questions that, you know, you ask folks. I think, again, when you think about what baptism is, and, you know, there's certainly different views on baptism, on what exactly, you know, it is. But it's, at the very least, it is an incredibly accurate symbolic picture of what God has done inside someone being played out in a very real, tangible way, in front of people. So there's the death, burial, and resurrection aspect. There's the old person going down, the new person coming up. And so generally what I've done, and I don't know, you can feel free to share, is I'll just begin by preparing that person to share a few words about why they're being baptized. And sometimes just at the first question to ask, you know, hey, Scott, get in the water here, you know, tell everybody why we're here today.
And
you might have to help them think through that before they get to that moment, you know. Maybe if they, I've even seen people write out their testimony.
That's fine.
And have that with them right there to read.
Yep.
And
we've done
that's a great thing to do. But I think that it's very important that people there hear from that person's lips why they're being baptized. You know, and depending on the age, it might be as simple as because I want to be a Christian and Jesus says to be baptized, and so I'm here in obedience to Jesus. You know, it may be that simple. But some people might really want to take that opportunity to share about, you know, more about their story, and that's wonderful when that happens.
We've done that. We've had them write out their testimony and read it, and brought me to tears. We've also, you know, people are generally shy, and then they won't object to you asking.
Yeah.
You know, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And
yeah.
So, one of the things we do as a church. Is after the person comes out of the water and dried off and everything, we'll sing a couple of hymns. And then what we'll do is we'll go around and we will read them verses that says, this is who you are now. This is your new identity. Like, your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you are a child of God, or you are, you have the spirit of adoption, or you are, you know, things that are from Scripture that declare you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So we will go around and every one of us will read at least one of those.
What I thought I'd do here to kind of conclude, I've got an email here that I send out to people that I just kind of say, type this up one day. When I was going to baptize someone in our house church, and I sent it to them, and I kind of kept it on file, and I thought I'd just read. This is sort of how I prepare someone to be, like what I would maybe want them to know, and kind of giving to help them get an idea. Hey, when we get, you know, at the pool on Sunday, here's kind of what's going to happen. And I'll just read it to folks, and then if you're interested in a copy of this, I'm happy to send it to you. You can get a hold of me. But this is simply what it says. For those of you considering baptism, I want to send you a little more information on what actually happened. To learn more about baptism and why we get baptized, refer to this link. And I gave them a little link to a website that had a video and some, you know, something I'd found on YouTube about that. But I put on Sunday, for those of you getting baptized, I want you to get a picture of how this will work. We'll arrive at the pool around 11. Before people get in the water, we will find a spot in the pool that is shallow enough for folks to stand up. Water will be about waist level. And then I explain that, you know, I will baptize you, or if it's somebody else, it's like your brother, you know, there was one time I was helping someone. I was like, I think, you know, I said, your dad will be the one, and just reminding them, like, your dad's going to be the one to baptize you, or your sister is, or whatever, you know.
So this is like a private email.
This is a private email.
Right, yeah.
This is a private
That's
email.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, so then I put, you know, blank will say a few words about baptism while we are on the side, all on the side of the pool. And then I put, you know, I will, or if it's me, I'd put, I will get into the water with you, and I will ask you, you know, Scott, why are you here today? And that's sort of what I refer to rather. And then I put in the letter, this is where you will want to think a bit about your answer to this question. It can be as simple as to be baptized in obedience to Jesus, or it can be more personal. You can share as much about your story with folks as you would like. You can even write a few things down and to read if you wish. The act of baptism says something in of itself, but sharing a brief testimony of how you have come to know Jesus in your life can be a great encouragement to those there. I will ask you the following questions after you share what it is you want to share there. So I kind of have this laid out. Now, here's the questions that I ask. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for you so that you can be forgiven? And then that person, you would say yes. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave, conquering death and making new life possible for all that trust in him? Yes, I do. Have you personally trusted in Jesus as your Savior and Lord and experienced the new life that comes from being born again into his family? And then they say, yes, I do. And then I would say, Scott, or the person's name, upon your confession of faith in Jesus, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then I explain to them sort of what happens. And this is, you know, again, we're getting sort of into the real practical matters, but hopefully this could be helpful to someone. You know, I will have them essentially, whatever my strong arm is, I'm right-handed, so I'll put my right hand behind the person's back. And then I would put my left hand out in front of them and let them take both of their hands and hold on to it. So I write, at this point, you will hold on to the left arm if the person is baptizing you as right-handed with both hands, but my right arm will be behind your back. You will sit down and lean back, going all the way under the water, and the person baptizing you will help you back up, which in this case, it would be me. If I was baptized, I will help you all the way back up, and I'll sometimes even like hold their nose so water doesn't go up their nose, which can be kind of embarrassing.
Oh, yeah,
to folks.
That's good. I do the same thing. What I'll do before I baptize somebody is I'll just sit down and talk to them, and I'll say, now, tell me why you want to be baptized. And it's just private conversation. Tell me why you want to do this, and then I'll explain to them, this is what baptism is and what it means. It's a symbol and everything.
Yeah.
And then I'll do what you just said. If we're doing it in a pool, we'll actually go through the motions and rehearse it because there's no surprise and they don't freak out.
Yeah.
Start splashing around, you know, it just makes it go a little more smoothly. That's just very practical.
It is very practical. And, you know, something to forget, depending on who you are, you know, some people are terrified by water.
Yeah,
like some people have a real fear. And then you put other people in there watching them and you got their self, you know, there's a lot of things that can be going on. And I'll tell people usually just, you know, wear their clothes, like just bring some extra clothes to change. Like, you know, you don't have to get in your bathing suit unless you want to or whatever. But, you know, for girls, there's modesty issues and there's all that kind of stuff. So just wear your bathing suit underneath a T-shirt and or a pair of pants or whatever, you know. But those are just some, I guess, practical things I want to encourage you to think through. Hopefully that's a help to you. I really want to encourage you as a house church leader, you know, baptism is something that not only will you do, but again,
Anyone can do.
Yeah. And you're hopefully helping people to do that. So it might not be you that's baptizing, but maybe someone this week or in your house church has led someone to Christ, and they should be the one to baptize them.
Yeah.
And you maybe can take this information and walk them through the process. Again, it's not just about us doing everything. We're teaching people how to do the things that disciple makers do as we do it. And this is one of those things that has, unfortunately, in many places been relegated to only a certain small few folks. And but we, you know, I think if everybody that God wants to be baptized in his family is baptized in his family, and you know, he's going to unleash a lot of us to be a part of that. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. So
there's no experience like baptizing someone.
Yeah. So learn the gospel. How do you translate the gospel through your life, through the lens of your life? Practice articulating that, sharing that, and be prepared to share it and invite others to follow Christ. And when they say yes, invite them to be baptized. You know, and hopefully some of these practical tips will be a real help to you. And, you know, one last thought on that. You know, it's funny because I really think the act of baptism has gotten more and more elevated in my mind because there's so much easy believism out there, you know. And when you share the gospel and share your life with someone and you invite them to follow Christ, you're going to find out real quick if they're serious, if they're really willing to turn from their life and to follow Christ. And, you know, it's not just, you're not, if they're, when you present baptism and the invitation to be baptized in there, get their friends and family together, they're going to have to really count the cost of that, because this is not going to be just some little thing they're going to pray with you and then go home and back to life as normal. I mean, when you include the invitation to be baptized, and they really, they're like, man, I mean, it's big time. And, you know, sometimes I think we can do a disservice to people by avoiding the topic of baptism or thinking, oh, well, we'll get to that whenever the time's ready. But then sometimes in doing so, we encourage this easy believism that doesn't really, you know, involve going public with your faith, which for some people, because of persecution, things can be challenging. But I think a lot of times of like Gideon, who God spoke, man, you know, and the very first thing he did when he called him was to tell him to go public with his faith and to go home and tear down that Asherah pole and let his whole family know that he no longer was serving a false god. Mm-hmm. And that was a big step in God using him to defeat the Midianites. And there's a lot of these folks out there. God is going to use them mightily. And the first step, the very first thing that he's going to ask them to do is to go public. And baptism is kind of the way we can do that.
Yeah. We had a Chinese lady that was baptized a couple of years ago. And she'd only been there one semester. She came to faith in Christ, and she wanted to be baptized. And this was not through our church, but another church. And so the church wanted to have a huge party, like, oh, we're baptizing a Chinese woman. And it's like, she sat down with the pastor and said, no, we cannot have a big party. I'm going to invite a few people, and we're going to have a very, very small baptism. And, you know, the pastor was disappointed, but, you know, she was coming from communist China.
Yeah.
And, you know, with YouTube, with Facebook, with Snapchat and everything like that, she just couldn't take the chance of anyone finding out.
And you're going to encounter situations like that that we want to be sensitive to. So,
yeah, but she had a very small private baptism. She was baptized in front of her closest friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, she did it in a secure way, which didn't threaten her life.
Yeah, certainly,
There's a time to stand up for Christ, and there's a time to, you know, not be stupid.
And the Lord will help people sort that through. I think enlarge the most, you know, if you can get your friends and family, the person's friends and family involved with it, it's a great proclamation to them. And like I said, I've seen God use the act itself to be the turning point for even friends and family who decide, you know what? And I've even encouraged this to say, hey, you know, Scott here has given his life to Christ and is beginning a new life with him. Do any of his friends and family here today, would they also like to join him in trusting in Christ and repenting of their sins and following him or whatever? You know, you've kind of already shared the gospel with them at that point, but inviting others to join him in that journey with Christ. Boom. A lot of times people, God will use that to help people in. So, anyways, hope this is helpful. Hopefully it's not too much in the weeds, so to speak, but being prepared to share your story and to help people be baptized. Hey, if we're not being prepared, if we're not thinking through that, we're not ready to do that, then we're probably not going to be looking for those opportunities or even believing that we can do it. But you can do it. It's something that God calls us to do. If you're a disciple of his, being a witness, sharing the gospel, and baptizing people into the kingdom, that's what he wants to use you for, and we look forward to hearing stories of that happening from those of you out there listening. So thanks for joining us today. And
then one last thing. We had talked about baptism, and you're probably wondering, why aren't you talking about communion? We have talked about communion. You just go back a couple episodes to, I think it's called When You Come Together, probably part two, and we talk all about communion.
Keep trucking along. We'd love to hear from you. You can get a hold of us always at keepitsimplepodcast.com, on Facebook, Gavin Durson, Tom LeCompte, all those places, Twitter, Instagram. I'm sure you're on Snapchat and Vine and all those things, probably, Tom, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm a Facebook-only person.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Twitterverse, we're out there. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments. Keep it simple. Real simple.